Amen. It's good to see everybody out to the homebrew meeting. Amen. This is the month of December, and we have one more, and Brother Freddie will be sharing that, and then 2019 will be over, and the next thing you know, we'll be in 2020. This year has been just exciting. It's been impactful, and we just thank the Lord for everybody's faithfulness and coming out, everybody listening on the internet, Brother Freddie and I, and it's just a privilege and an honor. Always remember, if you have any questions or any concerns, please feel free to email me, as I get a lot of, because I want to try to answer them all. Amen. Mm-hmm. So let's go ahead and get into what the Lord has for us tonight. Amen. Tonight we're going to be looking at Wilderness Truths for Modern Times, number 71. And so before we get into that number 70 we looked at, we started in the wilderness of Moab. We look at the wilderness of Moab, and there's two things right away when we look at the wilderness of Moab. It's a wilderness to avoid. It is a wilderness to avoid. And you can see in Genesis 36, 35, we saw that Moab was a setting of defeat, and also the wilderness of Moab is a wilderness of fear and distress. We saw that in Numbers 22 and 3. So this wilderness of Moab is a wilderness to avoid, Now we know that this was not God's intention for the children of Israel to go to the wilderness of Moab, because God wanted them to go left into the promised land and not go around the sea and then across the Jordan River that way. He wanted them to go around, but they didn't. They didn't listen, and they didn't make the commitment and dedication to God. So God had to send them around the Red Sea and around up to the Jordan River, as to where they crossed into the promised land there. But they were not in God, amen. So those are the first two points we looked at last month, and there's a couple other points we want to look at to focus our spirit. And our life in God must reflect His faith, power, and care. Let me say that again: that our life in God, it must reflect. We're to look like God's faithfulness. We are to have God's power, and we are to have God's care in our life, and that makes us caring for others. And so if our life does not reflect God's faith, then we're going to be fearful. Remember, the opposite of faith is fear. And so if we're not moving in faith in God, then we're going to be moving in fear. And God just, our life is to be a powerful life in God, doing those things that He wants to do. And of course, lastly, again, we need to be caring. That is one of the characteristics of Christ, and I believe that's why a lot of people were drawn to Him. He was very, very caring. He was empathetic, and He just loved people. Amen. Just a couple more points that we looked at last time, and it was a very important teaching. And the way out of Moab is a complete and unconditional surrender to God. Because that was one of the questions we asked last time, is how do we get out of Moab? What do we have to do? Well, the way out of the wilderness of Moab, where there's fear and there's dread and there's defeat, is a complete and unconditional surrender to God. The fourth point, the very fact that you are in fear and distress indicates that you are in Moab. I know many Christians that are fearful. I know many Christians that are in distress. When we were in Romania and in Bulgaria, we met many Christians that were walking with the Lord, but things and situations happened in their life and just kind of took them off their feet and just kind of took them out of God, and they were in fear and they were in great distress. They were in Moab. But the way out of Moab is a complete unconditional surrender. The solution is to continually and habitually bring oneself and helplessness and dependency before God. That is the way that we can make that complete and unconditional surrender to God, is to habitually bring ourselves in a helpless and dependency before God. That is the way that it's done. That is what we are supposed to do. We are to be helpless before God. That God is the only one who can help us. And we are to have a dependency on God. So many Christians think they're independent. Well, the older I get, the more I find out, the more dependent I am on God and on my brothers and my sisters. And if you haven't learned that, you haven't advanced very far in God. There's not too many Christians I know today seem to want to be dependent on God and their brothers and their sisters because they're unteachable and they think they know everything. I was telling Brother Freddie one of my prayers for me that I have, and I don't do a lot of praying for myself, but one of the prayers that I have for myself is I want to be more teachable. Because if you're not teachable, then you die on the vine, and God will chop you down and use you as firewood. And you can go to John 15 to find out about that. But so we need to be helpless and have this dependency before God. And the last point, a very, very important point, is no magic bullet to reverse bad habits and ungodly. No magic bullet to reverse bad habits and ungodly patterns of living. Only we can recognize where we are and to repent, which is a British word which means to about face, and ask God to strengthen us with might in the inward man, so that we can be conformed into the character and the image of Jesus Christ. So many Christians think that, there's this magic bullet, and I can get this blessing, and I can get that blessing, and I can get this, and I can get that, and this guy will pray for me and lay hands on me, or get this incarnate. Well, no, it doesn't work that way. There's no magic bullet to reverse bad habits and ungodly patterns of living in our life. It is just us realizing what is going on in our life, repenting of that, and allowing God to strengthen us with might in the inward man. Amen? Like I said, last month was a very, very strong teaching, as well as this teaching is. Amen? What are the truths for modern times, number 71? And that is, dirt, death lurks in Moab. Let me say that again. Death lurks in Moab. So here is a verse taken from Numbers 25:1. As Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. Death lurks in Moab. Amen? Relationship to the area of Moab breeds death. Let me say that again. Relationship to the area of Moab breeds death. A life lived in fear and unbelief and defeat not only leads to death, but brings the shadow of death over everyone it touches. When we are out of God's will, when we are out in the projection that God has for our life, then the shadow of our life can only bring death. Let me say that again. When we're out of God's will, then the shadow of our life can only bring death into every relationship that we touch, because we're not in the will of God. And when we're not in the will of God, then everything we touch will be out of the will of God, and it will be confusion, and it will be unbelief, and be fear, and all that good stuff. Because only in the will of God is there victory. And so this is what you see, in the wilderness of Moab. Such a life can drag others into this death stream. Wow. Such a life, being out of the will of God, living in unbelief and fear and defeat, will drag other people into this death stream. I have seen this so many times in my life. Amen. We must not live in such things. Our life must reflect faith, power, and care. So it's not fear, unbelief, and defeat. Our life is to reflect, as I said earlier, faith, power, and care. That is the context of Moab. It is seen in Numbers 25:9. And those that died in the plague were 20,400. So we know there's a story there. They were in Moab, and there was a plague because of their disobedience. And 24,000 children of Israel died. So, yeah, I mean, that's the picture of Moab, is death in the words there. Remember, that was not God's will for the children of Israel to go there, but because of their unbelief, because they did not make the consecration and commitment to God when they were supposed to, then God just kind of sent them on their way, and then they went into a wilderness of death. Amen? In application to the spiritual life, one giving oneself to the spirit of Moab, that is, to the spirit of fear and immortality, is an indication of unbelief which leads to a defeat in death. I'm sorry, not immortality, but immorality. Amen? As we can see in number 25 and 1, the children of Israel started having sex with the daughters of Moab. Now, these were, you know, supposed to be sanctified men, Christians, and all this good stuff, but they started having sex with the ladies of Moab, and of course, that, well, that just took them further and further out, amen? This must not be our dwelling place. Only death lurks in Moab. If you're in Moab tonight, you need to get out of Moab, amen? You need to get back into the will of God and get back to those right places, amen? Beyond the area of Moab, any area of the enemy of the cross of Christ. Beyond the area of Moab, any area of the enemies of the cross of Christ. Philippians 3:18 says, "For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ." Wow. "Can be likewise applied." So this verse can likewise be applied to the children of Israel and Moab. It can also be applied to the Philippian church at Philippi. Certain religious factors are enemies of the cross. Let me say that again. Certain religious factions are enemies of the cross. Certain spirit-filled Christians are enemies of the cross, refusing and denying death to self and to the flesh. Let me say that again. This is a powerful point that a lot of people miss. But certain spirit-filled Christians, now these are Christians that Paul and talking in, walk with the Lord, are enemies of the cross because they refuse and deny the death to the self and to the flesh. Because that's what it is. That's what God wanted to do in the children of Israel, was to kill their flesh. That's what God wants to do in our life, is to kill our flesh. And when we reject, when we repulse, when we do not allow God to kill our fleshly ways, then we become the enemies of the cross. This is why we see individuals in the church living defeated lives. Now, these are Christians that, you know, go to church and are used and they do all of these things. They have all of these religious experiences, but they're living in defeat. You know, they're in fear and they're in unbelief. And that is because they do not allow God to deal and judge in their life and work in their life to a point that He could kill their flesh and bring us to a helplessness before Him and a dependency on Him. I see this all over the church. And I tell you, it matters who your teacher is. It matters what you're listening to. It matters who you listen to. Because whatever you listen to, whatever someone is preaching to you that you receive, well, you will become that. Whatever is planted grows. And so if someone is not teaching the message of the cross, the death to self, then you're in trouble. Because it matters what it teaches. It matters what, you know, it matters what people, and it also matters what people that you gather with and worship with. Let me say that again. It matters who your teacher is, and it matters the people that you gather and worship with. Because if you gather around this humanistic message, if you gather around this hyper-spiritualism message, if you, you know, gather around all of these messages out there from the body of Christ today, and it's not Christ and Him crucified, the message of the cross, then I tell you, you're an enemy of the cross, and you're in trouble. And you must move away from that. Because I will tell you, there's all kind of religions out there, there's all kind of Christian programs and and Christendom out there, and all they want to do is satisfy their flesh, but that's not what God wants to do. God wants to kill our flesh, and He wants us to be conformed into the image and the character of Jesus Christ. Amen? This present world system and philosophies are enemies of the cross. This present world system, not the earth, but this world system and the philosophies are enemies of the cross. All you have to do is just kind of like turn the TV on and you can see the spirit of the world. Or just go out and just, you know, I mean, I can just go for a walk in town and just see the spirit of the world and the philosophies and the way, I mean, people dress and so forth. You know, it's just, they're all enemies of the cross. When a believer is influenced toward ungodliness through his relationship with the world, we see the results in his defeat. When a believer is influenced toward ungodliness through the relationship with the world, 1 John 2:15 says, love not this world nor the things in it. So many Christians are influenced by the world. I can't believe how many Christians have their favorite TV programs and this and that and, you know, this and, you know, all of these worldly things that they go after. Well, they're influenced by that, and that can only lead to death. We see this spiritual life ebbing from them. We see that spiritual life ebbing from them. In defeat, if you're a Christian and you're over into defeat because you have this love for the world, the first thing to go away is the amount of work that God has been able to do with your life. And most Christians don't realize that. You know, they were raised in the church or whatever, and, you know, all of a sudden they get over in some areas, they get with some wrong people, some wrong teaching, and all of this good stuff. And the first thing to go in their life, and they don't see it, but the first thing to go is the work that God has been able to do in their life. And we can see examples of this in the Bible. We can see Samson. Samson scares me to death. I'm going to be honest. Samson scares me to death. Because Samson would go and sleep with the harlot in Giza. And he would do this and he would steal. But then all of a sudden, the Spirit of the Lord would come upon Samson and he would kill 10,000 Philistines. Then he would go, you know, do something, you know. Man, so many Christians to that, so many pastors and leaders in church are just like Samson. Just like Samson. They're used with God and then they're go do this. And they're double-minded. And James tells us a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. And the Bible says all, it means all. Just not in the ways that he projects to be unstable, but all of his ways, everything he does, is unstable. Well, look at the life of Saul. Saul did not know that God took the kingdom from him or his spirit. Saul did not know that. God brought him down to a place of defeat, and he had to fall on his own sword because his armor bearer refused to take Saul's life. Wow. And Saul did not even know. He didn't know, but he just kept going further and further and further away from God. And the work of God in his life was lost. God has put fear and trembling upon his enemies. Fear and trembling has never been met for the children of God in their negative sense. Fear and trembling is for the enemy. It's for the enemies of God. They are not for the children of God. John, in his first epistle, writes, 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Fear is a horrible feeling. I have experienced fear in my life, and I will tell you a number of times, fear is a horrible feeling. Developing a pure relationship with the Lord, in which Jesus is allowed to be the Lord of your life, and we give Him room for His dealings and judgments on our life, will do away with this awful feeling. Amen? Now, that word perfect there is not that is not the word that you think there. We think of the word perfect, we think of like an apple or a rose, or, you know, it's mature and stuff there. That word perfect there means surrender. It means commitment. But the number one meaning of that word is trust. Is trust. So if you go ahead and you plug the word trust in there, there is no fear in love, but trust, love casts out fear. Amen? Now remember that thought as we go on. If you are in fear, it is because of your lack of relationship with the Lord. If you're a Christian or if you're not a Christian or whatever, no matter what the situation is, if you are in fear, it is because of a lack of relationship with the Lord. Not the religious kind, actually, if that leads to more fear, but one of a total commitment and surrender to God. So if you're over in fear, it's because of your lack of relationship with the Lord. Anytime that we get over in fear, it is because of the lack of relationship with the Lord. I remember when I was growing up as a boy, and you know, I was walking with the Lord, but I wasn't where I am today. And I would come in from school, and Mom, I'm home. Mom, are you there? Mom. And I would think, oh my God, the Lord came. And he left. And I would get fearful, oh my God, you know. Mom, and then you come out of the bathroom, oh Mom, okay, you know. Well, yeah, it was because of my lack of relationship with the Lord, I was fearful. And I learned that when I got a relationship with the Lord, then I wouldn't be fearful. And that's just kind of the way that works, amen? There is a direct relationship between a person's lack of dedication to the Lord and the amount of fear existing in their life. Wow. Powerful statement right here. In other words, your fear is in ratio to your lack of dedication. If dedication is 40%, fear then is then 60%. If dedication is 99%, then fear is 1%, and so on. So when dedication is complete, then there is no more fear in the surrendered heart. So our level of dedication will equal our level, you know, the opposite will be than our level of fear. How could we be fearful if there is complete dedication and surrender to God? It would be impossible. It would just be impossible. It is impossible for fear to be in the same heart. In God, there is no horrifying fear. God has no sense of dread, which causes him, you know, to be of a fearful trembling. God is afraid of nothing, for his power and control are over everything and everyone. Philippians 2:10 says that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow of things in heaven. Now notice, in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth. Now that's very, very important. A lot of people miss that, those three things. Of in heaven, and things in the earth, and things under the earth. Now do we really believe this? We must believe this. If so, then why are we so fearful about the devil? It says right there, under the earth, right? That's where the devil is, right? My gosh, the devil does everything to us. Like the devil this, and I'm going to bind the devil, and I'm going to cast the devil out, and the devil's doing this, and the devil ain't doing nothing. Right here it tells us that every knee shall bow of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things underneath the earth. If the devil is bothering us, it is because of our lack of relationship with the Lord. Because when we're walking with the Lord, it's impossible for the devil to do anything to us. Because our focus is on God, and any time our focus is on God, the devil has no ground, he has no authority, he can't do anything to us. Amen? And his disciples came to him and woke him and saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he said unto them, why are ye fearful? Now wait a minute. These are the disciples that saw Jesus do countless miracles, miracle after miracle. And here they were, and they were fearful. Wow. Oh, ye of little faith, Jesus said. Then he rose and rebuked the wind to the sea, and there was a great calm. But the wind, but the men marveled, saying, what manner is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Was Jesus afraid? No. The disciples were, yes. Both were in the same boat, under the same circumstances. In the same danger, the disciples were afraid, but Jesus was not. But Jesus was not. Amen? Now please get this in your spirit. Please get this in your spirit. Amen? Completeness. Completeness. Love, agape equals dedication. So now that word love, John 3:16, for God so loved the world, agape, means dedicated. For God so dedicated, in the Greek, for God so dedicated himself for the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Perfect love relates to perfect trust, as we looked at in that verse. Perfect love relates to perfect trust. Complete, absolute trust. Would they be afraid if they were sitting in God's lap upon the throne? No. Would you? No. Amen? Because of fear, those men of war who left Egypt failed to possess the promised land. The giants in the land were huge and powerful. Numbers 13:31. This was the vision of the soldiers. They did not see God's strength being greater than those of the giants. And of course, what I'm talking about here is the 10 spies that were sent out, you know. Because God's original plan was for them to go about 2 or 3 days north after they crossed the Red Sea, to go about 2 or 3 days north, and they would be in the promised land.
Yeah.
But it took them all the way down around Sinai and all the way around, you know, and just off. And now they're on the back side of the desert, on the back side over here of the desert, yeah, in Moab, in a place that is death. Amen? Because they did not have the faith. They did not see the strength of God. They did not see God's strength being greater than those of the giants. They saw the giants as having the ultimate power and control. Danger filled their vision, and danger to them and their families. What do we see in our lives? Do we see the giants, or do we see the Lord? Do we see the giants, or do we see the Lord? Well, if we see the giants, it's not because the giants are big. Because the giants aren't big. God is big.
Amen.
If we see the giants bigger than God, then that is because we have a lack of relationship with God. Now that's the point I want to keep driving home tonight. Mm-hmm. If the giants are bigger than God, then it's not the giants that are big. Mm-hmm. It's our lack of relationship with the Lord. So when we move into the right relationship with the Lord, then there'll be no giants. Mm-hmm. Amen? Mm-hmm. Oftentimes, faith operates contrary to the natural sight, though. Faith does not depend upon natural agents. Let me say that again. Our faith does not depend upon natural agents. Faith trusts God. Let me say that again. That's an important point. Our faith can only, spiritually speaking, okay, trust God. You can't have a faith in a chair. You can't have a faith in a car or because our faith, spiritual from God, faith comes by hearing God speak to us, and our faith can only be projected into God. That which God speaks must be mixed with faith. So God speaks to us. Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Or in the Greek, Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing a word from God. So when God speaks, we get faith. And then our faith is in what God speaks, not in anything else. But as I said right here, faith is not always you know, it does not always depend upon the natural agents, because it takes faith, not the faith that God gives you, but it takes faith to get in an airplane and fly 10 hours one way. So you have to have faith that airplane was checked by somebody. You got to have faith that it was fueled. You got to have faith the pilot kind of know what you're doing. I mean, you know. Now, but that's a different type of faith. When we kind of get that confused, we kind of want to get this natural faith moving in the spiritual realm, and then what we get is defeated, because our faith that God speaks to us can only be used in that spiritual, can be used in that spiritual realm. But they, the disciples, the children of Israel, the spies and stuff, they doubted, and there was no faith, there was no trust, there was no proper vision, and they died in the wilderness. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no vision, people perish. Where there is no vision, people perish. Amen. Revelation 21:8 says, but the fearful, now notice, the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and all liars shall have their place in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So the fearful are lumped in with the unbelieving, the abominables, the murderers, the whoremongers, the sorcerers, the fearful. God looks at fear kind of, you know, pretty strong. You know, and we wouldn't think that the fearful would be all kind of, you know, lumped in there, but that's not true. And why? Because they were evil. They were just as evil as the other people there in that list? No. But because of their lack of faith and their lack of trust in God is why they were lumped in there. The fearful. We're fearful from our lack of faith in God. And because of our lack of faith in God and our lack of trust in God, so they were all lumped in there with those really, really bad people. Amen. Because of the lack of faith and trust in God, we lack vision. We lack vision. And when we lack vision, then we perish. When we lack vision. It's interesting that word, Proverbs 29:18, that word vision, it can be translated two ways. It can be translated vision as, you know, something that's going to happen in the future, and then it also can be translated restrictions and limitations. Restrictions and limitations. And so if you go ahead and you apply that meaning, so those people that lack restrictions and limitations will perish. Mm-hmm. Those that go and do what they want to do, they run wild, they run free. Yeah, we can do it. We can do anything in God. Woo, yeah. You know, they have no limitations, and they don't restrict themselves to the things that God has for them. So they just run kind of wild. And when you start running wild, even in God, you get in trouble. You get in trouble because God will pull back on the reins. And a lot of times when God pulls back on the reins, you start spitting that bit. And then you've got some hard times going, amen? Some parting thoughts. The question tonight is, where is our faith? Where is our faith? You know what? They never answered the question. They never answered the question. Now, notice with the disciples. Let's go back and look at that. Let's go back and look at the disciples there. So Jesus asked them a question. O ye of little faith. Said, why are ye so fearful? So Jesus asked them a question, why are you so fearful? And they didn't answer the question. O ye of little faith, Jesus says. But what was their reply back to Jesus? What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? They never answered the question. Jesus says, where's your faith? My God, what kind of man is this, that the winds and the waves, and the answer is just, Wow. So our question tonight is, where is our faith? Jesus asked his disciples, Luke 8:25, he said unto them, where is your faith? And they being afraid, wondering, saying one to another, what manner is this? For he commanded even the winds and the waves. And of course, and that is, you know, in Matthew, you know, but it's also in Luke 8:2. Amen. To answer this question, reflect the disciples' character and content of heart. The answer to this question reflects the character and the content of their heart. Our answer does also. Why are ye so fearful if you are fearful tonight? How is it that ye have no faith? Jesus asked them in Mark 4:40. Because fear eliminates faith. Fear eliminates faith. So if we are in a situation that is fearful to us, then it will eliminate that faith. Last point, after all we have seen in the past, has God time and time and time again helped us over situation and circumstances, yet at times, and I'm using this pronoun we, that's everybody, like the disciples, can live in Moab. Amen? At times in our life, we can live in Moab. But this is not to be. The answer to that, not to live in Moab, is that life of consecration and commitment. And allow God to work in our life and for us to have a greater relationship with Him. And we will never, ever live in Moab. Amen. Amen.